We'd like to call this meeting to order at 7 p.m. That clock is actually running a minute or two fast. We return from closed session where we talked about readmitting one student, as well as I think that was the only item we discussed in closed session. We're at our regular session portion of the meeting. We will rise and have an invocation. Is there anyone in the public that wishes to offer an invocation? Seeing none, I will go ahead and offer that. And then, Ms. Shoemaker, would you please do the pledge? Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're grateful that we can gather here as the West Community Unified School District Board of Trustees and as concerned members of the community and staff and students, and we're grateful for the opportunity we have to be here together and to discuss the education of the children here in West Covina. And Father, we ask your blessing on this meeting, that it would be a productive one, and this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Please join me in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please. Here.
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 We need to report one action that was taken in closed session. It was moved by Mrs. Polis and seconded by Ms. Shoemaker that the following student has completed his terms and conditions of expulsion. It has been approved by the Board of Education for readmission to the West Community Unified School District. Student number 191086, and to lift the expulsion and enroll at West Covina High School. And the vote was 5-2-0. Board President's report. Board members, do you have reports? Eileen, you have a report?
I went to go see I went to go see Bye Bye Birdie, so I was able to see so many of our students in the production. And again, congratulations to Ms. Starzinski and all the students at West Covina High who were involved in the production. So that was my report.
Okay. Items from the floor. Do I have all the requests to address the board? There are quite a few here. Let's see, not more than 5 minutes are to be allowed to any one speaker, no more than 20 minutes on the same subject. This portion of the agenda is for a presentation of the board. Public comments beyond 30 minutes will be at the discretion of the board president. First up, we have Dean Salter.
Good evening. I'm back. You guys have come to know me in the last year and a half or so. Good evening to the crowd, parents and teachers and students. I've rewritten my little speech tonight. I came with a few different things. I'm going to table a few. I see a lot of students here for Mr. Moser, Mr. Okura. I understand there's been teachers removed from the district. There's been a principal removed. I don't know why. I'd like to know why in the last 3 years, 4 years, we've had three principals at the high school. Why we've gone through numerous principals at Hall and Crest. It just doesn't make sense to me. There's rumors of censorship of the newspaper. I've had the students at my house. I've told them, run with the paper. I've told them if they need help printing the paper, I will put it myself. I'll pay for it myself. I've given them articles to write. I told them to write an article about why Mr. Moser's gone, why Mr. Okura's gone. Why does the superintendent make $19,000 a month in her total package and took a pay raise this year? The city of West Covina has taken firemen out of service. They've gotten rid of our SWAT team. City officials and the city workers in the city have taken pay cuts. We've given a pay raise to the superintendent. I don't understand that. So basically, from what I've seen in the last few years, I still have an issue with teachers that refuse to communicate. I've talked to the teachers personally every semester. They still do not communicate. I've given them my email, my phone number, my address, everything. They let my student drop from one grade to two grades to three grades. Why has this happened semester after semester, year after year? It has not changed in 3 years. So I think we need to start from the top, find a new superintendent, and start fresh. That's what my request tonight is we look for a new superintendent, we buy her out of her contract, we eat the money, and move on. That's how I feel. I know there's other people in the room that feel the same way. I know there are plenty of parents in the district that feel the same way. Once I started talking about what she makes for in a month, I guarantee you there are parents in this district that don't make that kind of money in a year. A benefit package like that is ridiculous. That's what I have to say tonight. I've got other issues I will be back with, but there's a lot of other people who want to talk about the same subjects, so I'm gonna go up the floor.
Okay, great, thank you. Lisa Maggiore.
Thank you. It's been a while since I've been up here. Good evening, Superintendent Castillo, members of the board, and the administration. I requested to speak this evening to respond directly to comments made in the article that appeared Friday, July 2nd in the San Gabriel Valley Tribune. In that article, a member of the board was quoted saying, "I accepted a transfer to West Covina High School based on the incentive of receiving the advanced journalism course assignment." I am a product of West Covina schools. I attended Monta Vista, Del Norte, Willowood, and graduated from Edgewood High School. I've served as a substitute teacher and have been a full-time classroom teacher in West Covina since 1997. Many of you have known me for a very long time. Mr. Spence and I have known each other since I was 8 years old. Suffice to say that I'm connected to this community. Even though I have yet to serve as a full-time teacher at West Covina High School, I've been involved with the school community in several ways as long as I've been a teacher in West Covina. I've coached tennis, chaperoned events, spoken at career fairs, videotaped football games, operated basketball scoreboards, and participated in an extensive professional development program with many current mathematics teachers. This past year, I collaborated with the math department as I taught the first 8th grade geometry classes and worked closely with ASB and Renaissance programs in an effort to connect our leadership. Throughout these experiences, I have observed a school community that is passionate and spirited. Change is difficult, even under the best of circumstances, and West Covina has experienced its share. Through it all, the student, staff, and school community have bonded to create a place that is truly special. I've been on the periphery of something great with the potential of being even greater. No incentive is required for this opportunity, as it would be a privilege and honor to become a full-time Bulldog. This is what served as a catalyst for my request to transfer to West Covina High School. To that, I would only like to add that even though I've had the fortune of serving the district in a variety of capacities, I've never requested a particular assignment, nor have I ever expressed displeasure at an assignment I've received. And for the benefit of the school community and my own professional growth, I will continue to receive each assignment with enthusiasm and perform the assigned tasks to the best of my ability. Thank you.
Aaron Reed.
I'll address the paper in a couple minutes, but I just want to make sure you get it.
Do you have another one?
Is there an extra one down there?
Oh, sorry. That's all right. You guys can share. We do that in the classroom all the time. To Superintendent Castillo and respected board members, my name's Aaron Reed, and I've been teaching English at West Covina High School since 1999. I'm here tonight because I do not agree with the administrative decision to remove Ted Mosier as journalism instructor and advisor. In the past 11 years, I have come to know Ted not only as a teacher, but as a mentor and a friend. I have worked with Ted in many educational settings at West Covina High School. From 2001 to 2008, I advised and developed the Renaissance program. During this time, I sat with Ted on the leadership team at West Covina High School. While on the leadership team, I witnessed Ted speak frequently regarding staff concerns, always offering a positive solution. Ted is not one to complain. We also worked together as WASP co-chairs in 2005, but I have to be honest, it is Ted who led. I just followed. However, I might add, this is the year that the high school did receive their six-year accreditation. So just want to put that in there. In 2001, when the Twin Towers were attacked by terrorists in New York City. My brother worked in Manhattan. And when I got to school, Ted Mosher was sitting on my doorstep waiting for me to arrive to my classroom. And knowing that my brother was so close to this destruction, he stayed with me in my classroom until I received an email confirming that my brother was okay. This was my second year teaching English, but it confirmed I was not only part of an English department, but part of a family, the Bulldog family. In 2003, my father was seriously ill with cancer. When he passed away, Ted was one of the first people to call me in New York to offer his condolences. He didn't have to reach out to me in either of these personal situations, but he did, and tonight I'm here to return the favor. I can honestly say that Ted Mosher is one of the best teachers we have on our campus. Ted is the epitome of a professional educator, as you know, Ms. Shoemaker, considering you have once had a seat in his classroom. And as you know, Mr. Cox, since your sons are also very familiar with him as an educator at West Covina. While I realize Ted's professionalism is not openly being called into question, I have to wonder where, why, and how the decision to remove him as journalism instructor and advisor came to fruition. This is something I hope the school board will openly investigate. What I can tell you is on June 8th, the entire staff received an email with the 2010-2011 master schedule attached. This is the paper you have in front of you. If you turn to page 2 of the master schedule, you will see Lisa Maggiore is scheduled to teach 5 sections of geometry. If you turn to page 3, you will see Ted Mosher is scheduled to teach Journalism 2, 5th period. I've highlighted that for you. At the close of school, both teachers were off to start their summer satisfied with their teaching schedules. It wasn't until after school was closed and all students and staff had left for the summer that this change was made, behind closed doors with no prior discussion to either party. At the last board meeting, Mr. Rubikava stated his reason for making the change was simply an interest of fairness and equity. He felt that this was the best time to make a change. Mr. Mosher has served journalism advisor for 13 years, and he believed that it's now time to allow someone else to take on this role. I ask you to consider who is this change fair and equitable to? It's certainly not fair to remove Mr. Mosher from his position that he has held for 13 years, working to develop and cultivate a successful journalism program. It's not fair to Ms. Maggiore to feel responsible for running a program where she has limited teaching experience and even less education, considering her degree is solely in math. It's not fair to the students who have worked tirelessly with Mr. Mosher over the past few years and relied on his experience as a journalism teacher to help them build their program to what it is today. Over the past 2 years, the Journalism 2 class in NewsBite has had conflict with district administration over what is published in the student paper, and Ted has always backed the students' First Amendment rights. I believe this change is a direct result of this conflict. While administration would like you to believe that this change is about giving Ms. Maggiore an opportunity and a change of leadership, simply is not. If it was about giving Ms. Maggiore an opportunity to teach journalism, she could have easily been offered the Journalism 1 program, which Kathleen Steers, retired from this past school year. However, this was never discussed or offered to her. By removing an educator from a course they have spent 13 years dedicating themselves to without batting an eye, we're sending a terrible message to our newer teachers. What teacher is going to want to step forward to build and develop any program on our campus if it can be taken away from them just like that? We need the younger teachers' enthusiasm and energy to keep our program successful. If we allow our best and brightest and most influential teachers to be treated like this, what does this say about how we value the education system and those who have dedicated their lives to serving it? If one of the goals of the district is to encourage and develop an environment where teachers love to teach and students love to learn, how does removing Mr. Mosher from his position further serve this goal? In the interest of all parties involved, I'm asking the board to further investigate the decision to remove Ted Mosher from his position as journalism instructor and advisor. And I want to thank you all for your time tonight.
Adila Khalil. Ms. Khalil? Adila Khalil? Am I saying it wrong? K-H-A-L-I-L. Okay.
I respectfully ask that this letter be read into upcoming July 13, 2010 board meeting. Members of the board and Ms. Castillo, as a parent of two former students in the West Covina School District, I have to say I'm extremely upset by the removal of Mr. Moser from the journalism advisor position that he has held for the last 13 years. My daughter was on the staff of the newspaper, and I was very impressed by the changes I saw in her through her involvement with Mr. Moser. Not only did her writing improve, but she learned how to channel her enthusiasm. She learned about deadlines and how to manage her time. In my opinion, these lessons are critical in the business world and are not addressed often enough in regular classes. To date, Mr. Moser remains one of her favorite teachers of all time. Upon meeting Mr. Moser, he impressed me as a person as well as a teacher. If everything I have read is to be believed, this looks to be a power play with the superintendent and the new principal. Due to illness of my parents, I may be unable to attend the July 13th meeting and wanted to make sure my opinion was heard. As members of the board, I expect you to exercise your power and reinstate Mr. Moser to his former position as advisor to the West Covina High School newspaper. Thank you for your time and attention to this issue. Sincerely, Lori Woodcock.
Shana Woodcock. Shana Woodcock. Oh, there you are, hiding behind.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Shana Woodcock, class of 2007. You may remember me from last meeting. I'm here to restate my opinion on Mr. Ted Moser's position being revoked as newspaper advisor of West Covina High School. When I called the superintendent's office over a month ago, my phone call was not returned by Ms. Castillo, but by Mr. Rubalcaba. His exact words were, "Ms. Maggiore really wanted the position, and I promised it to her. This is a promise I wanted to follow through with." Now, Mr. Rubalcaba may think it is time for change, but why should a man who has only just taken the job take the most qualified person from his position and not recognize the upset that it has caused? Mr. Rubalcaba has made a rash decision, and now we are led on a finger-pointing wild goose chase that never ends. We sent our letters to the board. We were told then to send them to Mr. Rubalcaba. Our questions are not being answered from either party. I still have yet to receive a call from Ms. Castillo. Last meeting, I asked the board to take a look into this matter. I'm here tonight to ask that Mr. Moser be reinstated as West Covina High School's newspaper advisor. Thank you.
Kelly Chin.
Hello, my name is Kelly Chin, and I'm class of 2010 alumni. And this letter is on behalf of Kevin Chung, who is class of 2006. Dear school board members, my name is Kevin Chung, a West Covina High alumni from 2006 and longtime resident of West Covina. I would, first of all, like to thank you for your time from your busy schedules to read this letter. This letter is in regards of the removal of Mr. Theodore Moser and from his advisor's role of West Covina High School's newspaper, News Bites, and the release of Mr. Michael Akura from his teaching position at WCHS. As a student of these fine gentlemen during my time at West Covina High School, I have much that I have to take out of my experience with them. I feel that it was a mistake to remove these great educators from their roles, and I respectfully ask of both their reinstatements. As I was involved with the West Covina High School yearbook staff, our class worked very closely with Mr. Moser and his newspaper staff. Mr. Moser was not only the advisor of the newspaper, but he was also a mentor and confidant to both me and many of my peers in both the newspaper and yearbook staffs. Mr. Moser gave us not only the freedom of expression through the written word, but respected us to let his students run the newspaper without interfering with the content. Throughout my time involved with the student life at West Covina High School, I believe that Mr. Moser's work with the students brought out the best in his journalism students. Even as a freshman, I knew that I wanted to take Mr. Kerr's AP English Literature class. I heard many incredible things about his class from older students and who were taking his class. After years of working hard in my English classes, where I started in regular English 1 class and a bit of pestering, I was accepted into AP English Literature class with Mr. Kerr my senior year. I have had my share of great teachers within the West Covina Unified School District, but Mr. Kerr was one of the most inspirational, respected, and all-around best teachers in the district. I have learned not only about how to analyze themes from Shakespeare's and allusions from All Quiet on the Western Front, but many life lessons that shaped much of my post-high school experiences. The removal of these educators from their positions is not a disappointment to the many alumni and colleagues that had the pleasure of working and learning from these men, but it is a shame that future students will not be able to have Mr. Moser and Mr. Kerr from decisions that they themselves did not choose. I urge you to reconsider reinstating both Mr. Moser as advisors of Newsbites and Mr. Kerr to his teaching position at West Covina High School. Please do the right thing for the students and do not deprive them of the chance of learning from these wonderful educators. Thank you.
Celine Barrera.
Good evening, esteemed members of the WCUSD School Board, as well as meeting attendees. I thank you for taking the time to listen to me and my thoughts on this night. My name is Celine Barrera, and I will be a senior next year at West Covina High School. Plutarch once said, "The mind is not a vessel to be filled, but a fire to be kindled." Throughout our lifetimes, we influence at least 10,000 people. Teachers, who have the difficult and demanding task of managing hundreds of students in a single school day, are no exception to this fact. My mother is an educator. She teaches elementary school. Recently, I asked her how it felt to be a teacher, and these are some words she told me. "A teacher is not only there as a dispenser of knowledge. The role is so much more. A teacher must be wise, it's true, but also flexible, fair, have the ability to impart knowledge, and be an example of a good person. It may seem easy to be a teacher, but it's not. And it's easy for students to see whether a teacher is there for a paycheck or whether they are there because they care. I have never once, in my almost 4 years of attending WCHS, heard an ill word spoken about Michael Okura. That in itself should serve as a testament to the quality of his instruction and as well as his influence on students and faculty alike. In all honesty, I was very much looking forward to his senior AP literature class. He has proven himself to be a man devoted to his teachings, as well as a proud member of Bulldog Country. So why is it that he's being let go when all he wants to do is continue to spread his influence to empower the lives of his students? What is Bulldog Country? To me, it is many things. We are the home of scholars, athletes, and champions. In recent times, we have begun to rack up achievement after achievement, and we are proud to say that more and more of our students are being accepted into top universities, pursuing studies of a plethora of genres. Bulldog Country is my home. It's not just the home of myself, but of many. And for some who do not even have a proper home, that knowledge is utterly comforting. Teachers and staff are the backbone of that home. They help to nurture us and to motivate us. Time and time again, I have turned to teachers for inspiration, and they have always happily complied, igniting the fire that I need to refuse impossibility as an answer. It truly is amazing how much we care at Bulldog Country. And that home is why we are all here tonight. What if someone were to walk into your home and suddenly begin to tear it apart, piece for piece? Wouldn't it strike a chord deep within you and cause you to spring into action? That is how we feel. Two of our outstanding staff members are being wronged, and it hurts us because our home is being torn apart. And they aren't the type of changes which make sense, which are easily justified. No, it is a personal invasion, and whether it is based on a situation which we are all aware of or not, it is still uncalled for and unfounded. I have to admit that the creed is quite correct when they say that mothers know best, because as I talked to my mother, she truly showed me what it is like to be in the shoes of a teacher. Quote, "When teachers are disrespected by their superiors, their wings take a beating. And perhaps a little is okay, but with time it may be fatal, and we cannot afford to lose any wonderful teachers. Please consider what is best for students before making any major decisions. It doesn't make sense to us to replace someone that loves what they do and is highly experienced doing so without any justifiable reason. A person in power can do anything. Is this the message that you want to send?" End quote. We as students look to staff, faculty, and administration for a model as to how we should live our lives, whether it is earnestly, truthfully, passionately, optimistically, or sincerely. We make our choices in accordance to the attitudes we see our instructors exhibit and, at times, strive to exemplify them. Thanks to the vast educators that reside in our city and in our school, we are learning how to take a stand for what we love and cherish. And in this case, that causes them, the foundation of our education and of our preparations for the future. They are our mentors, our leaders, our coaches, and most of all, our driving force to help us succeed in life and be the best we want to be, the finest Bulldog family that you ever did see. Thank you.
Vince Zotilla.
Hi, my name is Vince Lotia. I'm reading on behalf of Jennifer LeBron. She is currently not here. She's currently stationed in Italy with her husband. This letter is dated July 7, 2010. Dear members of the school board, I am writing because I cannot be around to voice my opinion or physically show my support at the school board meeting next week. I have been informed that for an unnamed reason, Ted Moser is being asked to step down as the journalism advisor. I have heard speculation, but because I am overseas, it is hard to go out and find the right facts. My years as a student at West Covina High School were the most influential and transformational. I currently work at the Department of Defense Dependents School in Vicenza, Italy. The teachers and the level of student advocacy and ownership doesn't come close to the kind of experience and empowerment I received at West Covina High School. Ted Moser was one of the teachers that emphasized the importance of being a stakeholder in the community of Bulldog Country. I was able to help with the WASC accreditation and California Distinguished Schools visits in 2005. I was there when Principal Jim Coombs rallied an entire campus to raise API scores. I was there when the students reached that goal and were all treated to In-N-Out burgers. I was there to experience West Covina High School when there was a sense of true community. Students and staff members working together because we believed in the school. We trusted our leaders. We depended on each other because we were all stakeholders. Since 2005, there have been changes. However, no matter how much leadership changes, dynamics and demographics change, it does not change the fact that each and every person involved with West Covina High School is an integral part in how students learn and succeed. News Bites is essential to the culture of West Covina High School, and a radical change like this would affect the students greatly. The paper will suffer from this change. It has already been suffering. A public school in California is instituting prior review of the student paper. If you take this equation and add in a new advisor, it will, in nature, affect and stifle student representation and expression. It's the nature of the beast. If News Bites with Moser is under prior review, then News Bites under a new advisor will walk on eggshells. This may be what the board and principal want, someone more controllable, but it goes against everything that West Covina High School has taught me, to take ownership. Ted Moser is an amazing advisor and teacher. He teaches students to be critical thinkers, to question authority and society respectfully, to be active and informed citizens. Is this not what you want for the next generation? I have seen schools where principals rule the paper. I have seen prior review in action, and I have seen apathy as a result. I've seen students stop caring, who refuse to work, who don't see the need for action. Advocacy and ownership because their principal and advisor refuse to let them be active, critical thinkers. If your goal as a school board is to produce the next generation of replaceable cogs for society, then that is what you are doing. But if your goal is to create a generation of linchpins, of irreplaceable, indispensable pieces in society, then listen to them. Encourage them. Allow them the opportunity to learn and grow. Do not allow politics to ruin the educational environment at West Covina High School. Do not allow News Bites to dwindle. It is your job to advocate for these students. I ask that at the school board meeting you don't patronize or assume that these students in this community are uninformed. That would be insulting because I know that West Covina High School students, staff, and the community members of West Covina are unlike any other community, and they will see past your vague answers and ambiguous remarks. Just tell it how it is. As stakeholders, we deserve to know and understand what is happening in our community. Sincerely, Jennifer LeBron, class of 2005. Thank you.
This one I had trouble reading. I'm going to go with Daniel or Daryl Nicholas. Daniel? Oh, what do you know? You have worse handwriting than I do. I'm surprised. But
can I begin?
Go ahead.
Like many in the community who joined the meeting today, I have felt frustrated and even marginalized by this school board and the new principal of West Covina High. It angers many of us that intelligent, successful, and powerful people continue to appear out of reach by people who voice their concerns over our current situation and thus appear out of touch and assume a manner of communal erosion. There are too many questions concerning the logic and the reasons behind Mr. Moser's removal as journalism teacher, but too little explanations that go vague and questionable. There are many calling, emailing, demanding answers from the school board, and almost none have heard back. Too little being done, too much being passed off as being done. And of course, there are too many evasive explanations by the principal himself, people who are growing concerns because they feel he is not answering them. I will begin by citing some of these so-called answers. In the Tribune, he has cited that his decision to change advisors was by no one else's decision but his own. The superintendent's part was only to appoint him, and that's his only involvement. The logic here is suspicious because he is suppressing the fact the superintendent could as well choose you because you abide her interest, and that the more you contest that fact is the fact that you're disallowing her, dislikes. Inviting this contestant means a main reason for removing Mr. Moser was because Ms. McGuire has Ms. McGuire has been called upon to take a decision to he told us that Ms. McGuire was instated as a journalism teacher because she wanted it. This is what he told Editor-in-Chief Victor Val and the alumna and former editor Shana Woodcock. And now Ms. McGuire has publicly and officially stated she never asked for this role. His evasive communication with our Newsbyte staff has incorporated a flat-out lie. Our high school administration has sought to appease the new staff by bringing them more supplies, new computers, and a new website built by Ms. McGuire herself. What the administration, along with the principal, failed to realize is that Mr. Moser has done all three. But instead of treating students as if they were little children acting up for shiny new toys, he sought to teach them responsibility and gave us these tasks as journalists. Mrs. Shoemaker has stated that Ms. McGuire is replacing Mr. Moser as an incentive to bring a new math teacher into the school. Yet that is not what the principal has ever told us. Why is the school board saying one thing and the principal weaving something else? His reason is that Ms. McGuire wants to shake things up, that McGuire needs newer career opportunities. I'm speaking again to the school board because I believe that you guys care about our education enough to be concerned about someone who is deciding that straightening student education is below creating someone career diversity. If you prefer not to and we continue to go unanswered, the antagonizing feeling felt by the community will persist because of a total disrespect towards student education. Thank you.
Robert Heisch.
Good evening, Superintendent Castillo and members of the board. My name is Robert Hirsch. I'm class 2004 from West Covina High School, and I'm here to read a letter on behalf of Mary H. Brown. Dear Ms. Castillo and members of the board, I was a resident of West Covina for 45 years, prior to selling my home in 2005. My family has known the Okura family all these years. I still stay in West Covina a lot and call it home. Mike has dedicated his life to teaching at West Covina High School. During many of these years, I was involved in the Girl Scouts as leader and neighborhood chairman, plus my own children attended West Covina High School and had Mike as their teacher. Thus, from my involvement with the students, I heard only high praises for him. All the students wanted to be in his class and filled it very fast. I've never heard any negative comments about him. As long as Mr. Okura wishes to continue teaching, your students will benefit the most. Do not let the West Covina students down and see that Ms. Mike Okura is on your staff for the 2010-2011 school year. He has definitely earned the opportunity to decide when to leave his profession. Thank you for your time. Sincerely, Mary H. Brown. On a personal note, I have known Mike and Diane and the family for 24 years, my entire life, and my family as well is very close with the Okura families. They actually grew up in the same condo with them and have known them for many, many years. And I just wanted to also voice what Ms. Brown said, that Mike has the opportunity, he should have the opportunity to leave his position when he wants to on his terms. He doesn't deserve to be treated this way and be forced out after the many years that he has served West Covina faithfully and has, as they mentioned earlier, impacted so many students as well as myself. I was so excited to finally have Mike as a teacher. I'd always known him as like a godfather figure and as a father figure. So I just want to ask the board and the superintendent to reconsider reinstating him in West Covina as a teacher, and allow him to leave when he wants to. Don't force him out this way. Thank you.
Deborah Myers.
Good evening. My name is Deborah Myers, West Covina class of 1992. And before I read my letter, I just want to say how proud I am as a Bulldog to see all these youngsters here. I see someone from my kindergarten class. And so I'm just so proud to be reconnected to my own community here and to see how important this is to the students to speak up. So I congratulate you guys. And wow, you're very articulate, you know, individuals. All right, so class of 92, while attending West Covina High School, I was in the AP English program and a member of the journalism staff. After high school, I earned a Bachelor's of English from Cal State Fullerton, a California teaching credential from Cal Poly Pomona, and a Master's of Education from Missouri Pacific University. I am currently an English teacher in a neighboring school district with 13 years of teaching experience. I am writing this letter in response to the action taken against Mr. Mike Okura and Mr. Ted Moser. As we all know, students need positive role models and passionate teachers to help them attain the best education possible. Mr. Okura and Mr. Moser are clearly two of the finest teachers currently teaching at West Covina High School because they are both able to provide their students with an academically rich and challenging high school experience. Therefore, I am appalled by the actions the West Covina Unified School District has taken against these phenomenal educators. Mr. Mike Okura is not being retained to teach AP English for the 2010-2011 school year after 40 years of teaching in West Covina Unified School District. And Mr. Ted Moser's advisory position of the newspaper has been revoked after 13 years in this role. My question to you, the school board, is quite simple. Why? Please answer this uncomplicated question that I have posed to you and many other people have posed to you tonight. Why are you removing two of your strongest, most talented, and most effective teachers from their current positions? As an educator myself, I do not understand why you would make such decisions that would negatively affect the student achievement and morale at West Covina High School. Is it not our goal as educators to give our students the best possible learning opportunities? Please reevaluate these decisions and reinstate these fine educators in the roles that they filled in 2009-2010 school year. As an alumna of West Covina High School, I want the current and future Bulldogs to have the best educational opportunities possible. Thank you for your time.
We have gone over our 30-minute mark, but unless the board objects, we're going to go ahead and hear the last, I guess there's six that are left. That's okay. Valeria Lugo.
Good evening, board. My name is Valeria Lugo, and I'm entering my third year of News Bites. For the past 2 years, I have been working under the supervision of an extremely qualified advisor. Mr. Moser has been the most fair and just teacher I've had the pleasure of having. He always instills truth and justice as our main obligation as reporters. This has really helped me in figuring out what journalism is all about. Without Moser, we wouldn't be the honest, responsible staff that we are today. After learning that Moser was removed as journalism advisor, I was completely stunned and couldn't think of a justified reason for the decision. I am certain that Moser is the most qualified and suitable teacher for the position and find the decision irrational. If the reason for his removal is an effort to censor the contents of the paper, I must remind you that we are a student-run paper and will continue to be one. Moser in no way has influenced any of our writing, so removing him in the hopes that our content will change him is a mistake. If you have been offended or upset with one of our pieces, it is not the fault of our advisor. He has only offered tremendous amounts of support and help throughout every paper we have published. We have been told that with the new advisor comes new ideas, new equipment, and change. We have been promised new supplies for us to work with throughout the school year by administration. While all the change and new equipment sounds exciting, it is no fair trade compared to having our advisor join us in the upcoming school year. It's not easy for us to just forget that we no longer have Moser by our sides. I hope that you come to realize what a mistake removing Moser from his position is, and the impact that this decision will leave on the students. Thank you.
Karen Worth.
Good evening, Superintendent Castillo and members of the board. My name is Karen Worth, and I've been a teacher at West Covina High School
since 1993, and I support the reinstatement of Mr. Moser and Mr. Okura to their respective positions. At West Covina High School, we try to instill in our students Gandhi's idea that you must be the change you wish to see in the world, and Mr. Okura, in particular, demonstrates this philosophy every day. In addition to teaching his students the basics of senior English, literature, grammar, composition, he teaches through his words and actions integrity, courage, and compassion. And if anybody has any doubt of that, just look around the room. His influence on his students is tremendous. They're better people for having been his students. However, his influence extends beyond his own students. Mike Okura is an incredible role model, not only for students, but for his colleagues as well, including myself. Every day, through his actions and his words, he demonstrates what it is to be an outstanding teacher, an outstanding father, an outstanding member of the community and staff. His absence would be an inestimable loss for our students and staff alike. And I implore you to reinstate him to his position, as has been stated before, until such time as he would choose to leave. Thank you.
Jason Contreras.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Jason Contreras. I graduated from West Covina High School in 2001. I was also part of the very first AVID class at West Covina High School, so I had the privilege of having Mr. Kerr for 4 years solid. Now, yes, let me just start by saying he's a phenomenal teacher, great man, he's done a great service to this community for so many years. Anybody, any other teacher I can think of, or any other teacher, would have probably quit on us year two. Because we were not an easy group of kids. There's a couple of other AVID students here in the crowd with me. And we were tough to deal with, but he stuck with us. He stuck with us for 4 years. There was one instance where he had to leave us. It's because he had a heart attack. But the moment he got better, he was back in that class, cracking the whip, and actually reprimanding us for giving the substitute such a hard time. So needless to say, this man is committed to the district, committed to his students, committed to West Covina High School. I mean, we would walk into class, and he held us accountable for the grades that we would get in our other classes. If we got a C in a class that we were clearly excelling at, he would get on us. He always pushed us in the path of being more than what we could, when we could be, what could be, what's inside of us, you know? He always used to tell me, Jason, you have so much potential. Why aren't you doing a little better in this class? You know, I was in art school. I went to art school. Because of Mr. Okura. I found out about art school in AVID through Mr. Okura. And when I would pull a B in my art class, he would say, what's wrong with you, Jason? What's going on? You should be doing better. And you know what? I would turn around and I would do better because Mr. Okura would see it and he would not let me slide. And he did that with all of his students, especially in the AVID class. And I know he did that with all the other students. He was always pushing us to do better, always setting us on the path of college. And I went to a four-year school. I have a bachelor's. And now I'm working in this field that I studied. And it was all because Mr. Okura was very adamant about pushing us in that direction. And if he didn't have answers to our questions, like financial aid and, you know, all the other questions that come up when students are trying to apply for college, he would either get the answer for us or point us in the right direction, which is usually his wife, to get the answers that we needed. So I just wanted to come and address this. I found out about all of this not too long ago, and I rushed here from North Hollywood in traffic to come speak to you guys and let you know that Mr. Crow is a great teacher, and seeing all these young students here supporting him is wonderful. It just goes to show for generations, all the generations that he's taught have come back to support him. So it's got to show you guys that he's a wonderful teacher. And for him to be getting pushed out like this is pretty sad, you know. I'm so very proud of being a graduate of West Covina High School and being in this district. I went to Hollencrest, and then I went to West Covina High School. And so most of my education was at the West Covina Unified School District, and I think this is a great district, except for this one hiccup, which I hope you guys reconsider. I really hope you guys reconsider. And almost 10 years out, I'm still keeping in contact with the Okura family. I have their number in my cell phone because they're just great people. And Mr. Crow is a great teacher, and obviously he imparts a lot of knowledge onto his students, and it stays with us. So that's all I have to say, and I hope you guys make a good decision. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Wendy Duncan.
Good evening. My name is Wendy Duncan, and I've taught at this district for 21 years. I'm very proud to teach at this district. I feel honored that I can teach in the city that I live in. I love our students, just like these men love the West Covina students also. These men, both Ted and Mike, are very dedicated teachers. And when we talk about the Bulldog family, we really, for a large high school, we get along great, and we are family. And when one of our children, or when you have, you know, you have children and somebody does something to your children, you need to stick up for your children, and teachers, we need to stick up for each other also. Before I go on, I would like to thank all of these students, and I think we should include them in our WASC report this year as evidence that they are reaching their ESLers. I think everything that they have done with this presentation has showed that we teach them how to read, how to write, how to present oral arguments. We teach them to be better citizens and involved in community things, and so I think this is a great thing to have in our things, and I commend you all, and I'm so proud of all of you very, very much. Mr. Moser is such a professional teacher. He is so dedicated to our students. He's dedicated to our staff. He's dedicated to our administrators. Ted's been on the leadership team for many, many years, formerly called the department chair meetings. He's always involved. He's always positive. He's a professional team player. He's respectful to his peers and to all students. Okay. He's hardworking. He's a loyal, dedicated employee to West Covina Unified School District. He's taken the newspaper from when I came to this school. It was like one large page folded in half, so four pages altogether. It's really big now, and it's published twice monthly. It's fabulous. It's not just the sports scores and a couple little things going on in the school. It includes things, movie reviews, restaurant reviews, book reviews. It's great, okay? So I just don't know why anybody would switch something that's great. He was also co-chair of our WASC. And when we did get our six-year accreditation, Ted is very involved in many aspects of school. Mr. Okura, Mr. Okura is like a saint. He is the best. I used to be on SIP committees, and we'd have to go around and sit in different classes, and there were always some teachers I always wanted to sit in because I knew I would learn from them. Mr. Okura is one of them. Fabulous teacher. Why would anybody get rid of a treasure? Honestly, I just don't understand why you would get rid of a treasure. We all need to treat each other respectfully. And these two men have not been treated respectfully. You know, if things have to change because of certain reasons, it needs to be done with respect, not just they hear it through the grapevine or, who knows. It needed to be handled totally different. I really beg you to use your powers to change these positions of the school district and for the benefit of the students and the benefit of all other teachers at the high school and for the benefit of the district. Thank you very much.
Wendy Lau.
Good evening, esteemed members of the school board, Superintendent Castillo, and members of the community and the Bulldog family. As you're aware by now, my name is Wendy Lau, and I'm a class of 1994 graduate of West Covina High School. I am here again tonight to speak to you regarding the decision not to renew Mike Okura's contract as the AP English teacher at West Covina High School next year. When I first learned about Mike's situation, I came to you, the board and the superintendent, for answers. Today, nearly a month and a half later, I'm still looking for answers. But more than that, I'm looking for you to do the right thing. To date, I still don't know why an educator with over 40 years of experience and a proven track record of success, as exhibited by the audience today, was apparently left off of the master schedule with little to no explanation. What makes matters worse is that there continues to be an atmosphere of secrecy and inconsistency that is at odds with the goal of furthering and promoting the education of our students. As I stand before you here today, the responses to my inquiries have been conflicting, and no one has accepted responsibility for the decision not to renew Mike's contract, nor has anyone explained the rationale behind that decision. What I do know is that Mike Okura has been and continues to be one of the greatest teachers West Covina High School has ever had. I do not make this statement lightly, nor do I make it out of an overinflated sense of loyalty. I make this statement because it is the truth. It is the truth, as attested to by the attendees of not only tonight's meeting, but the previous two school board meetings. It is the truth, as attested to by the 564 individuals that have joined the Facebook page in his support. It is the truth, as attested to by the numerous phone calls, emails, and letters that have been generated in protest of Mike's removal from his position. And it is the truth, as attested to by the fact that countless individuals across generational divides and geographical boundaries have found common ground in this one issue. Perhaps I am naive to believe that one of the chief goals of any school district is to create an environment where teachers love to teach and students love to learn. But I hope that I'm not naive. I hope that I am justified in this belief, and that you, as the board and the superintendent, share in this belief. I hope that you can see the impact Michael Kerr has had not only on my life, but on the lives of so many others. Members of the board, I hope that you know that you have the unique opportunity to make a difference. You have the ability to demonstrate to the community that you do have the best interests of education at heart. You have the ability to renew Mike Okura's contract as a senior AP English teacher. While I can appreciate that the board may not want to step on anyone's toes or call into question the actions of the professional staff, I believe it is far more detrimental to allow decisions that clearly adversely affect the quality of education received by the students than it is to question those decisions and do the right thing. Thank you for your time.
Ian Jones. Good evening. My name's Ian Jones. I'm a graduate of the class of 2003. And I'm here to talk to you about Mike Okura, a recurring theme tonight and for the last 2 months. But before I do that, I just want to point out, you can't see everyone in the hallway, but the hallway is full. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't call the fire marshal right now. And I just want to point out there that the last time I've seen this boardroom so full, I think you made like $10 million in cuts to the budget. Maybe not that much. Maybe I like to think it's that much to inflate it a little bit. But you made several million cuts in the budget. And this, the room looked like this with people who are upset about teachers being cut, services being cut. And tonight, you have the room and the hallway, again, looking like this, coming before you, about teachers not coming back, and ultimately about educational services being cut. That's my own opinion, because I couldn't possibly come and speak to you without telling you my own opinion. But tonight, I'm going to read to you a letter from an alum from the class of 1994
who could not be here because he resides in Tallahassee, Florida. The letter is dated June 22, 2010. It's addressed to the Board of Education of the West Covina Unified School District. Dear board members, I am writing to express my concern over reports of the release of Mike Okura. I graduated from West Covina High School in 1994. During that time, I was lucky enough to have experienced Mr. Okura as my freshman honors English teacher, my AP English instructor, the associated student body director, and a football coach. By now, I imagine you have heard from many about Mr. Okura's skills as a teacher. I certainly benefited from my encounters with him as an instructor, but that is not what concerns me about reports of him being let go. I am concerned that Mr. Okura may lose the opportunity to teach the life lessons he taught me and change the lives of other students in the future. From day one, Mr. Okura instilled in his students a drive to be successful. He told us that drive started with a college education. I do not think he realized that the drive started in his class. He encouraged all of us not to settle for what we learned in high school. Of those former students with whom I keep in touch, all are hugely successful in their respective fields because of the drive that was instilled in us early by Mr. Okura. I completed my bachelor's degree at the University of Southern California, my master's degree at California State University, Northridge, and my PhD at Florida State University. I cannot attribute all of my success to Mr. Okura, but he was certainly the early spark to the fire. Although Mr. Okura teaches his students a huge knowledge of classic literature, how to write well, and how to be a leader, these all pale in comparison to his ability to teach students to think critically. Teaching facts and knowledge is obviously an important skill, and West Covina High School is filled with such skilled teachers. Knowledge of facts does not make one successful, though. I have taught hundreds of college students in my career, and I am often frustrated by their high school experience. What frustrates me is not the lack of knowledge, because that can be taught easily. I am frustrated by their lack of ability to think critically. Many students can provide the correct answer on a multiple choice test, but they cannot answer an essay question that requires them to form and defend an idea. In his classes, Mr. Okura requires students to think critically about issues. The skill is not easy to teach, but serves students well both in their studies and in their non-academic life. In a world where misinformation and overreaction have become the norm, the ability to think critically, form an idea, and recognize the strengths and weaknesses in the arguments of others is a gift I wish upon every person. There are dozens of Hollywood movies about the do-good teacher who was later wronged by a villain in the administration. Mr. Okura is one of those special teachers. I ask you to avoid playing the villain here, but to be one that champions the hero in this real-life situation. Please do not release a teacher who has the ability to better the lives of hundreds more students in his career. Sincerely, KCP Terhorst, Ecology and Evolution Program, Department of Biological Sciences, Florida State University, Tallahassee, Florida. And if you would indulge me my opinion just one more time. I promise to be short. I've been in this district all of my educational life, with the exception of college. But I've always had nothing but respect for the leadership that this district has embodied. It pains me. It really does. Because I know four of you pretty well. And Miranda Jimenez, I think she has the heart that everyone on the dais has. I have lost confidence in this district's leadership. I'm not the only one. That's shown not by everyone who's out here, but by a vast majority of people. You have an opportunity to right the ship. I urge you to do that. We can't make you do anything, but I would just basic civics. I like to think of myself as your boss. I would hope that you would at least take my recommendation. Thank you. Okay.
We do not have any more requests to address the Board of Education. Is there anyone else that wanted to say something? that didn't submit a card or came in late? Okay. Can you state your name for the record, please?
My name is Tamara Cruz Herrera, and I'm a West Covina High School class of 1995 alum, and you've heard from me for the last two meetings, so I wanted to give tonight the opportunity for some other students and alumni to speak. But I do have two letters that were requested to be read into the record that I would also like to share with you. My name is Robin Taylor Grout, and I am a class of 1994 graduate of West Covina High School. I attended the last board meeting to discuss my concerns with the removal of Mike Okura from his position as a senior AP English teacher for the following year. In addition, I wrote a letter to the board to the last meeting, which was not read into the record or provided to the board in advance of that meeting, as I am not aware of whether you have received the letter attached as a copy for your review. As I've previously requested, I ask that you investigate the circumstances surrounding Michael Okura's removal from his position and reinstate him as the senior AP English teacher. I look forward to your response and will look forward to hearing from you. Also, my name is Gregory Brown, and I am a graduate of West Covina High School, class of 1984. I am writing today to express my concern over the decision not to allow Mike Okura to continue teaching at West Covina High School. Mr. Okura is a much beloved and respected educator that has had a positive impact on generations of West Covina students. He has contributed to the foundation that has enabled many, in the case of Honors English 1984, nearly all, of his students to excel academically at the collegiate level. His enthusiasm in the classroom is infectious, and his sense of humor allows him to effectively communicate with even those that are uninterested in school. It is with good reason his classes always fill up early. More importantly, he has influenced all of the students he has taught in countless individual ways, all of them positive, leaving every student to have passed through his classroom or sports field a better person than they entered. Mr. Okura is one of those rare and special mentors that has made West Covina High School an uncommon institution. Having had taught for so many years, the lives Mr. Okura has touched, both directly and indirectly, are innumerable. The school district, the city, California, and even the nation can never adequately recompense Mr. Okura for all he has done for his students and for the impact he has had on our society through them. Mr. Okura is no mere fixture at West Covina High School. He is its history, its soul, and an irreplaceable treasure. He has earned the respect he has given, and only he should be allowed to decide when it is time for him to step down. I respectfully urge all of you to please reconsider this decision and do not prematurely deny the children of West Covina the chance for the tutelage of this exceptional educator. Thank you.
Is there anybody else that wishes to address the board? Go ahead. Please state your name.
My name is Megan Manahan, and I am class of 2012 at West Covina High School, and I am here in support of Ted Moser and Mike Okura. Okay.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Liu. I'm a current student at West Covina High School, and even though I'm not wearing a sticker, I'm in support of Michael Okura and Ted Moser.
I already went on record, but I'd like to restate. My name is Vince Latia. I'm currently in the class of 2011 at West Covina High School, and I'm in support of Theodore Moser and Michael Okura.
Hi, my name is Tweeta Nian. I am a class of 2012 of West Covina High School, and I am here in support of Ted Moser and Michael Okura. Thank you.
Good evening, school board. I'm Carrie Meng, class of 2010, and I'm here in support of Mr. Moser and Mr. Okura. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Joella Allen, class of 2010, and I'm here in support of Mr. Michael Okura and Mr. Theodore Moser.
Hello, my name is Stephanie Liu. I am currently a student at West Covina High School, class of 2011, and I am appalled that I am not given the opportunity to take Mr. Okura's class next year. I feel that you shouldn't try to fix something that isn't broken. Thank you. I'm here to support Mr. Okura and Mr. Moser.
Good
Good evening. I'm Christine Poon. I'm class of 2011, and I'm also here in support of Mr. Okura and Mr. Moser.
Okay. I think that concludes our public comment portion of the meeting. Thank you very much, everyone. Okay. You want to do a break? Break or business? Okay, we'll go on to our business session. Approval of agenda.
May I request?
Go ahead.
Okay. My request is that we go ahead and place on the next board agenda Mr. Moser and Mr. Okura so that we can look at the master schedule and take a look at what our bosses are telling us.
So on our August 10th agenda, then, we'll have placed, I guess, the master schedule and assignment of teachers concerning Mr. Moser and Mr. Okura. Is that correct?
I don't believe we can for Mr. Moser. He's filed a grievance. It would have to be in closed session.
Okay. Then can we discuss it?
Could you not hear me?
No.
Okay. I was saying that I do not believe we can place Mr. Moser on the open calendar for our board meeting. He has filed a grievance against the district, and so that means we have potential litigation, which means we are not allowed to publicly discuss him from this point forward, which is why a lot of you haven't received a response regarding him.
Can we put that in closed session then, and we can discuss that?
Well, I'm not sure that's actually correct, because the only potential litigation, the reason people don't talk about it is because it can be used in a court of law, but that doesn't forbid people from talking about things that could be potential litigation unless there's a court order ordering that to be done.
The next issue is it's just a personnel issue with a grievance with the union, and so, again.
I'm not sure. I know we can talk about it in closed session, but I'm not sure that there's something that prohibits us from talking about some aspects of it in open session.
Okay, Ms. Lace Castillo, can you get a legal opinion to the board?
Yes, I will.
Very much.
Okay. We're on the business session. Approval of agenda and consent items. Does anyone wish to take an item off consent? I wish to take items 2, 6, and 16 off. Does anyone wish to take another item off? Does anyone wish to add an item? Is there a motion? Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Moved by Mr. Cox, seconded by Mrs. Polis to approve the agenda and consent items as listed with the deletions of items 2, 6, and 16. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, it's approved 5-0. Item number 2, the minutes. I took the minutes off consent because I wanted to find out, the minutes are where we record the board actions that we took, but on page 86, with the approval of the pre-K summer program, there was an asterisk. And the asterisk concerned two board members requesting a legal opinion. And my question is, in the past, I know I've requested information when I voted for items. I've requested legal opinions when I voted for items. And there was never an asterisk in the minutes because it was never board action. So I want to figure out what the standard is for including non-board action items in our minutes with asterisks to those items.
Okay, it's my understanding that the board voted to go ahead because of the timeliness of the program and the issues at hand, but it was also my understanding and direction from members of the board that pending a legal opinion, they might decide to change their votes or decide to take further action on it. And so we didn't know quite how to express that. If you have a better way, we're certainly open.
Well, I just think it should be whatever the action is, and obviously people can reconsider things if they voted for it. But, you know, there are times we request information in conjunction with items, and this asterisk system, you know, because it wasn't something that the whole board approved. It was requests from different board members. You know, it's not a board approval item.
Well, the action was unanimously approved by the board.
Oh, I understand
that. With the caveat that we come and give the board
Well, that would have been
legal,
in...
So that's, I guess...
Well, was that in the motion? I don't think... Whatever the motion was is what should be in there. At least that's my point of view.
Okay.
Is whatever the motion is, it should be there. And unless we're going to start listing all requests.
No, I guess what we're really trying to make sure that the board, for purposes of liability, when you take a vote and you don't have information from legal counsel and you require that, so either, Mr. Spence, the board could say, you know, no, you can't do this until we have legal opinion, like you have tonight, or the board has voted and said, you know, follow up with legal opinion. Once the board has taken a vote, obviously what you're saying is true. They could, you know, change that vote.
Right.
But we were trying to figure out how to include what we thought we heard from the board, which was we will pass... because this program is going to start tomorrow. We agree to it, but we need you to get a legal opinion about it. So in an effort of the people in this room, the five of you, my understanding was that you were passing something, but for legal reasons, you wanted an opinion and you wanted that noted. If that's incorrect, we'll omit
it. Well, when I listened to the tape, you know, this was the motion that was presented, and then there were requests for legal opinions. You know, they weren't part of that motion. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that's where I have the problem, you know, listing asterisks next to votes, because it implies that was part of the board action. And had that been part of the motion, I might not have voted for it.
Okay.
You know, and so...
Have that just stricken from the minutes?
Or at least have a standard where we're going to approve every comment or thing, but I think that's too hard. But I think we should keep the minutes to be what the board motions were.
Okay.
That's just my view.
Okay.
So is that a motion, Mr. Cox?
Yes.
Okay, it's moved, but to strike the asterisk. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay, it's approved 3-2 with Mrs. Polis and Mrs. Shoemaker voting no. Item number 3, inter-district attendance permits.
Okay, I'd like to call on Dr. Julio Fonseca to make a brief presentation and answer and discuss any issues or questions that the board may have.
Hey, good evening, Board President Spence, honorable board members, Superintendent Castillo, Julio Fonseca, Office of Pupil Services. Thank you very much for giving me an opportunity to present to you regarding the updates to inter-district permits. As you know, in Board Policy 5117, the governing board directs the superintendent or its designee or the designee to develop procedures by which inter-district permits may be granted. The administrative regulation that delineates those requirements or the current procedures for the review of all inter-district attendance permits, you may find those located in Administrative Regulation 5117, which, from what I believe, were submitted to you for your review. And please note that those regulations are aligned with the board's policy to recognize justifiable reasons for occasional inter-district transfers, as well as taking into consideration the child care needs of the students. Now, it is the intent of our process to include parents as partners as they relate to discussing issues that may or may not benefit their child in the long run, and as a result of their request for inter-district permits. That also gives us a really good opportunity, our process gives us a really good opportunity to sit with every single parent that comes to our office that makes a request for inter-district permits, for us to explain to them what is actually available within our district that will support the educational needs of their child. Just for information, several other districts in our surrounding areas do not have that same process. They're very different in terms of their communication with parents. However, we make an effort, you know, with your leadership to make certain that all of our parents have an opportunity to be heard and give that discussion of options with them. And recently, the Los Angeles County Office of Education has received a high volume of inter-district appeal permits because they've been denied in several of our surrounding districts. And what the county has requested all districts to do is to make certain that we have documentary evidence for the specific reasons that parents would like to be released from districts, just in case these parents choose to appeal to the County Board of Education. They have all of the documentary evidence to make certain that they have an appropriate review for a decision to either uphold or revoke the decision to that the districts have made. Therefore, our office, the People Service Office, is following board policy, as well as making certain that the requirements that are presented by the Los Angeles County of Education, they're being upheld. And each of these permits are being thoroughly reviewed by our office, and making sure that the parents do have the appropriate information so we can make a joint decision regarding the approval or denial of these interdistrict permits in an impartial manner. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate the superintendent allowing this item to be agendized. And my request, and the reason I asked for it to be agendized, was I had someone that was contacting me in the community whose permit was denied, someone that previously had received permits from West Covina Unified, and it was denied. And part of the letter that they received said that it was due to the policies of the governing board of the West Covina Unified School District that their permit was denied. And so when I first heard that and knew of their situation, I was thinking, well, I never approved a policy that said they couldn't go out of the district with, you know, those circumstances. And then when I got the policy, which we haven't visited since 1996, the policy actually is kind of vague and delegates a lot of authority to the district to develop an AR. And, of course, I don't know what year we stopped, but we stopped approving ARs some time back. And this one was revised in 2010. So I don't know what it was, you know, back when in 96 when we first approved the policy. I'm sure we looked at the AR back in 96. We were doing that back then. So we knew when we approved the policy and we also approved the ARs, we knew what those standards were. And, you know, I kind of signed off on them in 96. But these new policies, you know, I agree, and I think you do a good job, and I think it's important to sell West Covina Unified to students, you know, here that have misconceptions or don't understand the programs we offer. I think that's perfectly wonderful. But I do have problems telling parents that they're wrong in telling in what school, you know, that their child would do better in. I just have a real problem with that philosophically. That's always been my position. That was my position in 96. You know, and I'm glad we had a chance to look at it. And in looking at the policy, it does allow for a lot of transfers, but it does still limit the ability of parents to have the final say on the permit. And that would be my concern. The other thing I noted just is, you know, the permit that you included that they file out, it doesn't say the permit's granted because of the policies of the West Unified Board. You know, we only get the blame letter. We don't get the credit when they're approved. Which is something that I noticed. But, you know, I just think we should be more flexible. If parents believe that a program in another school district will be what benefits their kid, I have a hard time telling them that we know better than they do about their children. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I don't know how we revise ARs.
I think you need to revise the policy if you want to. I mean, we will follow whatever policy the board comes up with. Basically, if you feel that the policy needs more of your direction or your, you know, whatever.
Yeah, because the policy, because this is what happened back in 96. I mean, you weren't even here. You know, back in 96, we look at the policy and we look at the AR. So we know exactly what we were getting in 96. And then I don't remember when we stopped doing the ARs. Somebody, even I don't remember. Do you remember, Kimmy? Yeah, before you got here, we stopped looking at the ARs. And so then the ARs get changed and then we, you know, they're different than maybe we intended when we first approved them. So I would like to see us change the policy then so that, you know, it reflects, well, at least if there's a majority, to reflect, you know, our policy of letting parents have more say over the transfers.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is our current board policy following the Ed Code?
Yes, our board policy does allow, well, it is, yes, we are consistent with the.
And I know law. You haven't been here that long, so Ms. Castillo, you may have to have Mr. Seaman answer this. But the administrative policy has been revised since 96 two times. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that's to follow along the lines of the Ed Code and the types of transfers that are allowed in and out of districts. Is that correct?
Mr. Seaman?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And in our policy, are we limiting from what the Ed Code allows for transfers in and out of the district?
No, Ms. Shoemaker, we're actually including more. As a result of some legislation that has been changed, the law does no longer includes child care mm-hmm. as a relevant reason to request an inter-district permit, and we are including it as a request from the Board of Education that requires us to include and consider child care as an appropriate reason for us to consider.
And are we allowed to expand the reasons of students leaving the district, or do we have to, are we restricted by the Ed Code?
The Ed Code is, from what I recall, is silent in terms of the types of reasons, but what we do in our district is we consider the reasons for request, mm-hmm. And then we also understand what LACO is requiring for districts to consider as well, and we're very consistent with what they're asking us to do.
Mr. Spence.
Yep. Go ahead.
Thank you. I didn't realize that F was not included on, did you say Ed Code or County Code?
In the Ed Code.
In the Ed Code. So what else is not included on Ed Code that we're giving flexibility for?
There is an Allen bill that is also considered in terms of the employment. However, school districts...
The employment, E?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
The employment-related permits also have to have consideration from the receiving district, that they mm-hmm. do have to have a specific policy that recognizes the Allen bill before they would be considered throughout both districts, because both districts do have to have an agreement that that's what they will accept or reject as approval or denials for the permits.
So then, if I'm understanding this correctly, as long as we take what the Ed Code has, we can add to it. Because we've added two, so we can add to it. We could add one more. We could add two more.
Well, these are reasons.
If the board agrees.
Well, these are reasons that have been considered and approved by the Los Angeles County of Education,
okay.
and we're following their protocol.
Okay. So, anything we add, would that have to be approved by LACO?
Mm-hmm.
That would have to be something that would be an agreement between districts.
Okay, so whatever district the student is requesting to go to, that would have to be the agreement between them.
They would have to have an agreement between districts, and from what I recall in the law, it does state that there has to be agreement between the districts, and they only last for 5 years.
Okay, so then, I don't know, let's say we had a student who wanted to go to Glendora, and as long as the districts agree, then that lasts for 5 years, whatever the reason is that they both agree to?
Yes, that's
okay.
correct.
That's true.
Open enrollment. That's
right,
what
right. Well,
so
I just
but
I picked out of the hat,
charter,
you know, Azusa Unified, you know,
Roland Unified,
Claremont Unified, whoever.
Roland wants to be open enrollment.
Yeah. So, okay. Other board members, yes. Yeah, Ms. Polis.
I've known a number of families who've gone outside of the district, and they haven't had a problem. I'm not sure why it was denied. So, what are And Mr. Spence had a letter in front of him. What are the reasons that we're denying people from leaving right now?
In terms of what we're denying is we're requesting evidence for the types of issues that they're requesting the permits to outside districts. And on most occasions, we do not have sufficient evidence to make an appropriate decision. And the parents are informed up front that if there's no documents or valid information that the permits will be denied. However, we do have a very detailed process where the parents do have a right to come back to us, have a discussion. This is what I do have now, and for further consideration. Other districts don't allow for that. Once their permits are denied, they're immediately referred to the County Office of Education for consideration whether or not the district will the county will uphold or reject the district's decision. So we do take into consideration all of the factors that you've mentioned. And from what I can recall is that we've only had a handful of parents that have challenged our denials.
As
others are pretty much content with us giving them their options, their description of the services that we do provide, the educational options that we do have, And many of them feel alleviated that they did have the right to meet with us again to explain that we do have an IB program, that we do have other options that will best suit the needs of their children.
Good. How many students do we have coming in, and how many do we have going out?
I'm sorry, Ms. Polis, I don't have that information, but I'll be more than happy to get that for you.
Okay.
Thank you.
And is there are we having more EL students coming in or special education students coming in that would cost the district more? And how many do we have leaving us that when we're looking at cost factors?
Sure. I would have to get that information as well because, you know, the permit requests are coming in daily. And the number that I would have given you an hour ago would not have been accurate right now. So I would have to, you know, check with our new director to see what numbers we have as of today.
And they're coming in daily to leave or to come in or both?
Both.
Okay. Mr. Cox?
Mrs. Castile will probably certainly remember a conversation that I had with our former assistant superintendent of whatever his job is, and pupil services or personnel or whatever they do.
Yes.
Rob Arias.
I remember when
and
he was the
Rob director. Had this conversation, the three of us in this room, and it was when they first started, and I shared with them sort of a little bit of the history that I had with respect to this issue and where I stood with respect to moving forward in this item. That, first and foremost, was based on the fact that, number one, we offer an incredible opportunity for education in West Covina, West Covina Unified School District, all levels, primary to through high school. So the fact that you actually encourage them to come in, make sure that they're making the right selection for the right reasons, making sure that they're aware that, for instance, if they, you know, want their children to raise cattle, well, I'm sorry, we don't do that, and if that's important to you, you're going to have to go to Covina. On the other hand, if it's something, for instance, that we want to know that we have sufficient AP calculus classes that, in fact, we have here and they don't have in other smaller schools that just can't do that on a full-on basis that we have. So we have opportunities. So the more that you have an opportunity to speak to them, hopefully you'll encourage them to stay.
Yes.
But fundamentally, and I do believe that the education code is not restrictive as to your leniency as to letting them go. You can let them go for any reason. The education code doesn't restrict you and say, you if they live in this district, you have to go to school here. It doesn't say that. It just says, you know, you can restrict it if you would like. But if you want to be more lenient as such, let them go. Let them go. And that's always been my position. If they don't want to go to school here, I want parents and students who want to be here, who understand that this is the absolute best opportunity for education that they can get. And if they choose to go, then, or if I force them to stay, then that means I've got people who just don't want to be here. I don't want that to happen. On the other side, though, coming in, I do want to be restrictive as to that. So I want to make sure that they meet certain criteria. Mm-hmm. And that's what I hope that this inter-district AR, administrator, regulations present is that so that we can help to filter those kids. I do want to be restrictive to who we allow to come into this program. But fundamentally, that's just where I've been from day one, from the beginning. Now, we used to have, from time to time, parents come to us and go through the appeal process through the board, but we knew that the county was, it's going to be rubber stamped. So we let them go. So they never had to go to the county. Now the county is being more restrictive because they understand our needs for, you know, controlling our finances to some level. I still, regardless of the financial issues, whatever, I still stand pat on that fundamental belief that if somebody wants to leave this district, have a nice life. If you want to stay here and have you want to come into this district and have an opportunity to do that, you know, we will then be judged on that as to whether or not we'll allow you to come to our district.
Yes, sir, Mr. Cox. And one of the things that I have identified or noticed is that other districts are not as receptive in terms of the agreements that are made between districts, and they are not allowing any of their children to be released for any of the reasons that we have listed in our consideration list.
But that's chosen. Now, if they want to be selective as to which ones they accept into their program, again, that's their side. The same with us. We want to be selective when they come in. That's our choice.
Understood.
Okay. EMJ?
Let me understand. Are we going to reconsider this policy? There's documents I'd like to see. I don't know the letter that's being referred to that you have. I'd like to see.
Well, that was a letter. That was the letter we sent, and maybe you can include the sample of what we send to people we reject. And that's what caught my notice because it said, due to the policies of the governing board, we're rejecting your application. I was going, I never approved a policy, and you know that rejected it. That's what caught my attention. So
I'd like to see that.
Yeah, and just the sample letter that you sent out.
And then I'd like to see county, their base, their policy, which is what is our base, as I'm understanding that. That's our base. We can build from it. So, and Mr. Cox, I agree with you. I want students who want to be here.
Okay.
So, thanks.
I heard three board members that want to be more flexible as far as allowing parents to get permits.
This is a voting matter.
I didn't say that. But we're... So to bring it back,
so
reflect that.
So will you be rewriting your policy?
If you want me to rewrite it, I will rewrite the policy. Or do you want me to rewrite the AR?
No, I'll write the AR. You write the policy.
Hmm.
You'll write the policy, or you'll
okay.
get the board support for the policy that you suggest. Or just take the existing one and change whatever you want in it.
Right. Well, the policy one, what it does is, well, see, and again, this is the struggle. And actually, I'm kind of curious. I don't know if we have that problem in other areas. You know, back when we approved the policy, we were approving the AR, so we knew everything we were getting when we approved it. But now that those things are changed,
well, all the ARs and the policies are updated as laws change, as districts change, as county regulations change.
Right.
But
no law changed this since 96.
Have access to both.
Oh, I understand
ARs
that.
And the policies. And what we do is we take your policy and make sure that our ARs are consistent with that.
Right.
Okay. So if you change your policy, we'll make sure that the AR is consistent
mm-hmm.
with your policy.
Yeah. So I will go ahead and I will, if you consent to me in a Word document, I'll wordsmith it if that. Mrs. Polis.
If we're going to be writing the new policy, I would also like to know how this would affect us economically. And if we have more students going out than coming in, because it sounds like districts aren't releasing their students to come here, how will we determine what teachers will be let go if it doesn't impact mm-hmm. the different schools, what grades it's actually impacting, and what schools, so we'll know if we have to let go somebody, which I would hate to do.
Well, you know, tonight you are bringing back all our temporary teachers based on the projected enrollment and the
right.
process that's been used. Obviously, if this changes anything, we would not be able to change that until the following year.
What another asterisk piece of information would be?
Let me just clarify one more time. If you vote on today's personnel report,
we already did.
Rehire, right? We did. Okay. By voting on today's personnel report to rehire these individuals,
mm-hmm.
these individuals are being rehired based on a projected enrollment.
Right.
If that projected enrollment changes, okay, basically these individuals will stay for the remainder of the year at whatever cost to the district.
How many permits do we deny that those kids don't show up in our schools?
I don't have that number at this time.
I mean, that to me, that would be, because this is what every once in a while I'll run into this, and I think people don't talk to me about it because I'm a board member, but you know, people want to get their kid in another school. Sometimes they go through the permit process. Sometimes they don't. But then they find an address of somebody, you know, that they'll let them use as the registration to get them in that district. You know, that's wrong, but I think that's what goes on because of restrictive permit policies or perceived restrictive permit policies. But so I'd be kind of curious about that number, too. Okay. Any other questions?
No.
Great. Okay, we are on item number 6.
Sure.
I pulled this from consent, and I just had a quick question.
No. We're on number 8, aren't we?
No, he took off 6.
Oh, you took off 6?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, my fault.
Right? Am I right?
Thank you.
Am I right?
Yep, sorry.
Item number 6, and that was How do we legally review all the assessments these schools do on their incoming kids? Or do we have opinions on them all or not?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, many of the schools have different assessments that they use, you know, when we do the IEPs and the kids want to come in. How do we legally review those for compliance?
Okay, mostly when students are placed in non-public schools and non-public agency lists, they have been authorized to receive our students based on the law. And when the SELPA office looks at non-public school placements, they look at the kinds of schools that, you know, they're recommending that students attend. Basically, they're reviewing them for accreditation, correct, you know, procedures, and et cetera.
So SELPA does that.
Get a list from the SELPA that says
these people follow
yes,
these procedures.
Yes, correct.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I'll go ahead and move this item.
I'll second.
Can I just get a point of clarification on the last? Mike, was your question about their assessment
tools
into the programs?
Yeah, their assessment tools. Who legally reviews them? And the answer is SELPA does, and they use the accreditation process to do that, right?
But are you talking about the students' assessment? I'm just confused.
The schools use assessments for the kids.
But these would be mm-hmm. our. To get into these programs, they'd be using the assessments that our psychologists did.
Well, some of these schools have different particular learning styles, so they would use their own assessments.
Right, but before we go into these programs, the students are ours,
and yeah, right.
our school psychologists
right.
Test them
right.
to get into these programs.
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
But some of these schools do have particular ways of learning, so they use their own assessments as well.
Okay, once they've accepted a student, they have ways of determining what a student's needs are
right.
based on several things. And the SELPA office is, you know, part, and LACO is responsible to make sure that that's appropriate.
Okay. That answers my question. Thank you. It was moved by, did you move it, Mr. Cox? I moved it, didn't I? I moved it, and it was seconded by Mr. Cox to approve the list of non-public schools and non-public agencies. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, item number 8. Any Williams problems?
Mr. Seaman.
He's not even going to get up to the podium now.
No. For the fourth quarter, there are no Williams complaints to report. We haven't had any legislation.
Wasn't the legislation, it was a lawsuit, right? It was a, wasn't it a... Settlement with the state? Yeah, it was a settlement. Is there any questions on item 8 on the Williams? Okay. We're on item 16. What?
As of tonight, we can't let anybody go.
Okay.
But if you did,
we have $25 million in reserve, right?
But if you did the AR...
Well, we don't have the numbers.
Right. But that makes it difficult because that was on consent this evening, and we didn't have the knowledge before it was on consent, before we could take it off.
So part of the discussion could be that any change to the board policy doesn't go into effect until
next
year.
Thank you. That's perfect.
Okay. Item number 16, I pulled this off for the ASB account at the high school, and I was trying to figure out, and it's associated because how many students have enrolled now for the Edgewood High School program?
I believe our last count was like 202.
202, and they're all coming?
As far as we know. We'll know on the first day of school.
Okay, so that's about two-thirds of what we projected?
We had a goal. We didn't have projections.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to clarify that in your mind. We had a goal to try and get 300.
Mm-hmm.
You assured me we were going to get a lot more than that.
If you did comprehensive, but you wouldn't do comprehensive.
Well, if you do comprehensive, you force them to go.
Yeah, you wouldn't. Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
So we have 202 as of today.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that they're going to be there, and their related expenses and accounts and all that are based on that count.
Okay. Okay, so obviously then we scaled back the...
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And then probably the most important question that I have concerning this is, who picked Spartan blue as the color for the new high school?
The students came to an orientation meeting. They were allowed to pick, and some of their parents, they were allowed to pick their colors and their mascot.
And Spartan blue was given to them as part of that?
Yeah, afraid so.
I don't know. I will go ahead and, that one really troubles me, by the way.
They, by the way, are looking to, there's a few people coming to ask the board to go to city council to change the name of the street.
The Trojan Way part?
They're going to be the Lions.
Be the Lions.
They're using Spartan blue as the color they're using, Mrs. Polis.
Spartan blue a different?
Some of them would have gone to West Covina High, so it's an homage to that.
Did West Covina High used to be Spartan blue?
No.
No, West Covina High.
Green and gold.
Okay.
And Trojans were.
Are we done?
I will go ahead and reluctantly move this item.
Second.
Is there any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Reluctantly.
Who seconded it?
This has nothing to do with school cover.
Who seconded it?
Does it?
Then
who
no.
But it's about
Mr. Cox.
Student body and
I did.
Accounts, so.
Okay. We have a board meeting for August 10th. Is there any other items?
No.
Okay. Did everyone see the email? We're going to talk about Title 1 again at our next meeting.
We have.
Oh yes, we are going to talk about Title 1.
You know, I don't know who gets emails. When somebody sends me an email, I reply to all. So I don't know who, you know, if you got it or not. But there are two things that we need to bring forward. Actually, more than once. Okay, Title 3 and Title 1 issues. In terms of compliance, we need to bring to you, once the schools get started, we'll know the actual counts. So up until October, Seabeds Day, everything is a projection, okay? So basically, on Seabeds Day, we will know, A, what the district's going to receive overall, right? Because right now we're just projecting. And secondly, then we'll talk about how that money gets divided.
Okay.
So we want to give you information each time because it's a little complicated. So we want to be able to keep informing you as to Title III and Title I regulations and what's going on with that. Okay.
Okay.
But it'll be more than once.
Okay. And our yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to pass out a flyer on behalf of Ms. Straczynski. She wanted to invite all the board. I told her that I was coming to the board meeting, so I would do it. She wanted to invite all the board to their fundraiser, because it's supporting all the West Covina students in their productions of plays.
Okay.
So I just wanted to make sure I gave that to everyone.
Anything else?
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Our next meeting is August 10th. Enjoy.
Yay.
This meeting is adjourned.
Happy